Good morning. It is a Monday, last one of March, the 25th of this month. Joining us this morning, Mr. Rob Arkley. Good morning, dude.
Hi, man. How are you?
Good, good, good. Actually,
Happy Holy Week.
Yes, yes, indeed. I made the Chrism Mass again last week. It was nice. Got to get you in town sometime to take you down on that one. That's kind of a fun little thing. For those who are non-Catholic, the Chrism Mass is when the priests renew their vows, and you get the holy oils and water and stuff. So it's kind of fun to see everybody get together there. All righty, you ready for your question?
Yes, sir.
Why is gossip called scuttlebutt?
I have no idea.
The word scuttlebutt comes from sailors in the British Navy. 19th century warships had large wooden casks with holes cut in the lids for drinking water. The word scuttle means a hole, like the one created to scuttle the ship, or in this case, the one in the cask. The water cask itself was called a butt. Okay. And just as is done around water coolers of today's offices, sailors exchanged the latest gossip while getting a drink at the scuttlebutt.
Huh. I love that. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's interesting, huh? I don't know why they would call, where the cask would
don't
be called
go
a butt.
There.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't go there.
Whatever. Here we go. So how do you think today is going to play out with this lawsuit that was brought against former President Trump by New York State? Do you think where do you see that going?
Well, it's a great question. I'm going to give a quote. For good reason, the protection against excessive fines has been a constant shield throughout Anglo-American history. Excessive fines can be used, for example, to retaliate against or chill the speech of political enemies.
Well, that nails it.
No other than Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that. I think he wants to get it into a friendlier forum, which is federal court. I think he will succeed in getting it into federal court, and it will be tossed out. That would be my bet. This lawfare against Trump is wrong. I would oppose it against a Republican doing it to a Democrat, or a Democrat doing it to a Republican. It's wrong. It's an abuse of power.
Yeah, I guess. Is it that transparent that we see it, or is political fighting gotten to such an extent that some don't perceive what we see that it is?
I don't know how a thinking person, that assumes a lot, could support this litigation. I mean, the aggrieved party ought to be Deutsche Bank, who loaned him the money, right?
Yeah.
He paid them off. And they don't want to be party to the lawsuit. And so to have this done, it's never been done before. The statute was, they passed a law to keep the statute open. And then they revoked it after they got the lawsuit, after they got the litigation started. They repealed the law, but didn't do it retroactively. So they had created a small window to go after him, and then they closed it later. I mean, it's just bizarre to me. Anyone who thinks it's not lawfare is not thinking. And I get voting against somebody. I want them to be on the ballot and have our voice heard, and I want equal treatment under the law. This is neither.
Yeah, it's curious, I guess. Hey, speaking of curious, what do you think about Steve Garvey being a candidate for the U.S. Senate? I mean, certainly he has name recognition, but
he sure has name recognition. He's no kid. He's 75. He
Why is Schiff afraid of him, though?
Yeah, Schiff's a bad guy. People don't realize it, but, you know, Schiff lied to 300 million Americans just serially. He is George Soros' ex-son-in-law. He's a heavy-handed guy when he gets power, so he frightens the daylights out of me. He believes lawfare is just an accepted practice and a resume enhancement.
Contrast him to Nancy Pelosi. I mean, we certainly, most of us are more familiar with Pelosi over the last 10 years than with Schiff, as he was kind of second bench for a lot of the stuff. Similar? Is he more aggressive than what she was? Less aggressive?
I think she's a heavy-handed boss type, and he's just a soulless advocate for what he wants. He's a bad guy.
So he's an all-or-nothing kind of guy?
Yes, he is.
Okay. California employment figures came out this past week that showed that we lost a couple million jobs last year. A little bit of a surprise. It's a surprise to you?
No. Is it to you?
Well, in talking with folks locally, no. I mean, something has changed. People are looking for employment, and the employers can't find people that qualify, which is a change over the last 12 months. But, you know, we've always had a tough time trying to find people in the area. You know,
we're finding great people. We're really happy with the way our group is in Eureka is staffing. It's really good.
Well, we'll talk about entry-level positions and how the marketplace can change when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley from Louisiana. Hey, by the way, situation with the LSU coach, Mulkey, you got any comments or read on that thing, or is it truly a hit piece from the New York Times?
It is truly a hit piece. She's regal in every way. I've met her. You know, I wouldn't remember me if I met me. She remembered me when I saw her the next time. She's pretty remarkable.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, she's certainly digging in her heels.
Yeah, players that don't get to play hold a grudge. That's as old as the day is long.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they forget eventually, but yeah, interesting stuff.
A lot of players never forget.
Yeah.
They hold a grudge against the coach that didn't play him or cut him or whatever. I mean, it's kind of weird. And that's all this is sour grapes.
Yeah.
As near as I can tell.
Oh, too much fun. Too much fun. The employment stuff, you know, you indicated that here in our region that you guys aren't having problems finding folks. I guess what I was thinking was entry level, the 20 and below hourly rate. It seems something's going on, and I don't know what it is. If it's a cratering of the marijuana, so that we have a lot of storefronts and people are trying to do it on shoestrings, We've seen certainly a trend, an awful lot of restaurants, instead of being brick and mortar, are going with trailers and trying to be a little something for everybody, instead of, you know, moving around to the different communities instead of having a lockdown location. Maybe it's reflective of what the marketplace is saying, or maybe it's a reflection that employment's a little tough, and also just covering the nut is getting tough.
I think it's all of the above. It's very difficult to have a storefront make money in Eureka. I think there's a lot of really cruddy space out there that needs to be repurposed, and the landlords are unwilling to invest. I mean, frankly, we're looking at North Coast Dance. That's not me, it's my wife, moving across the street because the space has been drained and has had leaking and is just no service. And so, you know, there's just a lot of worn-out space in Eureka, and it'll ultimately recycle. I mean, I'm not happy with the building kitty corner from us, isn't that the old JCP building?
Yeah.
And it's worn out, and it's been vacant for, what, 5, 7, 8 years? And it's falling apart before our very eyes. So these things happen. I think what they're proposing for downtown Eureka, turning it into low-income housing, will just do it even worse by it. I don't know what, you know, what's that, Miles Slattery is thinking. I mean, just kind of, this is low IQ kind of stuff. So I think Eureka needs some leadership. Right now, that we have ideologues on the city council instead of leaders. And the business community is being abandoned. The chamber's become a joke. So what do I think? I think it's a combination of factors. Like everything else, it's not ever just one thing.
Which means that there's not a magic bullet. And I think that, I don't know, maybe it's human tendencies to try to find what is the simple fix, what is the easy fix, what's the one thing that will turn everything around for everybody. You know, I don't think that that's out there.
You're right. There is never a simple one solution fits all. It is not that. Will wind fix our economy? No. Just for a point of reference, Brian, have people thought through how high... Everyone remembers, can see the smokestacks from the pulp mills.
Right.
How tall are these windmills going to be? 3 or 4 times higher than that?
Yeah, three to four is what I understand. And I think the Harbor District, is it this week or next week, is supposed to come out with some artist renditions. And I think that there's going to be some interesting discussions around that.
Well, you've got to consider the source. I mean...
Well, 800 feet or 1,000 feet is...
Rob Holman is an advocate for it, and yeah. He'll do anything to get his way. He'll say anything to get his way. So you got to... people have to be involved and have to think through the issues. I just don't know that windmills being assembled here make sense. Now, do windmills offshore make sense? I don't think so, but a more spirited debate can be had on that. Right now, from what I see, is you've got politicians wanting to be, you know, I think Mike Wilson wants to become an engineer for one of the windmill companies and using his vast experience on environmental matters. You know, everyone, the tribes are hopping in and trying to get money from it. And so it's bringing out the worst characteristics and certainly not the most talented people to get these done. And you know what? We're all stewards of the land. And is this type of viewscape what we really want Humboldt County to look like? I think that debate needs to be had.
Were you surprised about Crowley pulling out or taking getting out of the exclusive negotiation position?
No. I think they got tired of paying bills on a project that probably is not going to happen. And I don't think they have a good relationship with Rob Holman.
Okay, so they got tired?
I think they got fatigued with the BS, yeah.
Now, some of that, is that California or is it federal? Yeah, that's kind of what I was afraid of, double whammy.
And then the tribes hopping in the way they are.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing their best to get something out of a project that hasn't happened. Everyone wants it now. They want to get paid to do the studies. They want to go to work for them, so they vote to enhance their future. I don't understand it. I just don't. You kind of want...
Human nature, baby. Human nature. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, we've seen, late last week, Ron McDaniel was hired by NBC, much to the chagrin of some of the other talking heads on that network. We're seeing a lot of congressmen that have been around for a long time opting not to continue. What's going on here?
By the establishment, so to speak, and that's Ronna McDaniel. She's not a conservative. She's a Romney. They're never conservative. They're just there, kind of like the Bushes. The Bushes were never conservatives. They were, I think they're, right now the Bushes and the Romneys are permanently out of the Republican Party. It wouldn't shock me if they actually became Democrats. Because I don't know how to distinguish them from the Democrats. The congressman dropping out is a different story altogether. The congressman dropping out is part of a scheme by the Never Trump Republicans to have the Democrats pass a law by... that will prevent Trump from being on the ballot. It is being Raskin is drafting the legislation, and they're going to try. Right now, there's money, threats, bribes, whatever being thrown at Republicans. To drop out and give the slowly. You notice how it's been steady, one vote at a time, and they'll get there. I am convinced that the Republicans are going to willingly give up the majority through a series of bribes and threats, cajoling, whatever you want to call it. The congressmen who are dropping out early. I mean, the Gallagher one was the most blatant because he did it in a way so that the seat couldn't be filled. It's 2 days after that date. And so it effectively is a vote for the Democrats. I was surprised at how blatant and bitter he is. Hugh Hewitt didn't go into it because they're buddies, but... Boy, I think these congressmen that drop out before their term is over, that's okay with me if it's for a family matter. But if it's because I have hurt feelings and I don't like it, you breached a fundamental promise, a fiduciary promise you made to the people that voted for you. And you're just saying, I'm not having my way, I'm not having fun, I'm getting out. Well, that's not right.
Well, so it leaves the district unrepresented. Okay. You know, and we have the 2-year cycles, but in the interim, it would seem to me like there should be an appointment rather than just not being represented. Is that
well? It's correctly provisions for that? Ruled. It's correctly governed by state law. It's not.
So the states do the the state does the appointment.
The matter is, when you resign deliberately, you can resign today. If you don't want to do it today, they get to fill it. Okay, I got it. But no, you do it in a way so it can't be filled till the next election. You're a pretty nasty guy, and, you know, frankly, where's your compass? You were elected to do a job. You broke your promise.
Do you think there'll be fallout from this?
No matter how much I disagree with Jared Huffman, and I don't know California law on this, but if he resigned in a way so that he couldn't serve or couldn't be replaced, I'd feel the same way, even though I know he's going to vote virtually 180 degrees away from what I want on everything. But I still think they've made a fundamental commitment, and either your word is good or your word is not. I'd never hire someone who quit early. Forget it.
So what is this all about? Is it jealousies?
There is a psycho group of Republicans, and I know them, who just despise Trump. And, you know, when you objectively look at the record on what Trump did, if you're a Republican, you probably go, yes, 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 if his name weren't there. But the fact is, for whatever reason, he's a populist. And and I've circled with him, but I'm more of a populist by nature and whatever I do than I am, you know, the blue blood type. I always shake it up because I think for myself and I don't follow the flock. These guys who are big donors, of which, you know, frankly, I am one, they want more control. I don't want the control. I want a process. I don't care about the result. They're very heavy-handed, these guys that are never Trump, and they're flushing the party and the country down the drain with what I believe. So they've got no place with me.
So it's the supporters that aren't getting the outcome that they want or the influence that they want at the White House? Is that kind of in a nutshell?
Yeah, I know one of them who's a never-Trumper who just wasn't hired by Trump, so he's mad.
Okay.
Another one didn't get a meeting with Trump or got 5 minutes with him and felt like he'd given enough money that he deserved more time. You see, that's not the basis upon which I give, but that's the fragile egos of the business class that does this.
Well, I would think that they would be more concerned about the regulatory climate and the, you know, some of the cost of doing business and how that has changed, whether it's tariffs and international law or international trade or some of the domestic policies that are going in, that would be more frightening to them than whether or not somebody is following the party line.
Well, number one, I agree with you. But number two, never forget that hedge fund guys, they're financialists. They don't deal with a lot of issues that we all deal with. They're free agents, and they do whatever is in their economic best interest. So regulations don't per se impact them the way those of us, you and I, have operating businesses. The regulations have meaningful consequences and real expenses. They just sell their damn stock and go somewhere else.
So that's kind of the genre where a lot of this serious money is coming from, are traders rather than the business community per se?
Yes.
Oh. Well, they have no strings. They can jump across the street. And
they're like principalities. They just kind of skip wherever they feel like.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of sounds liberating every once in a while, I suspect, but hey, they got to really stay on their toes. But it's...
Well, no.
It's a different game.
They lose their compass. You wonder if they were ever conservative. And where's your compass? It's the America, in my mind, was founded on a liberty and freedom basis. It was not founded on capitalism and a monetary basis, and that's the way they view the world.
So that's their lens then, is just pure financial.
Yes, it's an economic experiment. It's not a personal freedom experiment.
Huh. That is intriguing.
I mean, guys like, and now, you know, the Democrats are really, God, they're extreme. And they want to tell us what to do. I mean, look at David Cobb is advocating overthrowing our government or taking it over through stealth means. Look at what he's trying to do in Blue Lake. My gosh, they're trying to just take it over and ram things down our throats. Tribes are playing along. They're being used no different than they have been over the centuries, but Cobb's using it to his best end, the tribes to his best end.
So some of the presentations, discussions, dialogues that are going on in Congress right now, are they factual, or are they just representative of these folks that pay the monies, these hedge fund folks, pay monies to have a point of view expressed or to have information presented that then gets picked up by the mainstream media? I mean, not big in conspiracies, but it kind of sounds like that's the direction things are flowing.
Well, I think the never-Trumpers are losing their influence in the party, and they're fighting to maintain it. And above all, I hate to say this, but these congressmen are not what you call rocket scientists. And they are afraid of losing their jobs. They like their jobs. Senators are a different breed of cat. I mean, they are statesmen. They are the
Fortune
500 CEOs types.
Yeah.
They're a little different. But the congressman, I don't know why. It's the worst job in the world.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocery. Your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Barkley. Rob, one of the things I think, and maybe this is part of what we're seeing now at the federal level and at the state level as well as locally, is it doesn't seem like for vast majority of the actions that are taken legislatively, I suppose that would be the simplest way, legislatively, that we don't think about the entire spectrum of what this does, from the first step to the last step. A lot of great policies are in place, but we really don't know how to take care of them at the end. Okay, well, but the end is coming, so we have to worry about it. The EV vehicles plug into the energy grid, plug into the traditional energy. Okay, well, that's just compounding the same situation. You're just exchanging one form for another. The windmills activity. You know, what are you going to do with the plastics? What are you going to do with the leftovers after the rust hits? You know, and then you've got all the environmental concerns about critters and things of that nature. Is it too easy to be short-sighted? Is that kind of what the upshot of my thoughts are?
It's hard to know. I don't know what long-sighted is when you're basically putting things out of reach. Part of the problem with these electric vehicles is that they are really expensive and they're not practical for a rural lifestyle. And so what are you trying to do? I mean, when does too much right become wrong? And that's kind of where I think we are on the EV. It's through a lens that I don't understand.
Well, and the other thing, and this is starting to be referenced specifically in that niche, is these cars weigh a whole lot more than what the traditional car does.
Oh, yeah, parking structures are grossly inadequate for the new
yeah.
cars.
Or just road beds. Yeah, very few roads are designed to carry commercial truck, you know, logging trucks and cement trucks all the time. Yeah, go through.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Go through the neighborhoods. You know, there's not a lot of those. At some point, there's going to be an issue. Where that point is, I don't know, but I kind of don't think that it's been thought through to that point either. You know, and then you got the recycling and all, and the manufacturing of these things, and all that kind
and
of stuff.
And the mining. The problem is you add it all up, and the EV thing has become a religion. They ought to be a little more honest about it. At least, you know, some of these local kids admit that they just don't want cars. EV is just a transition to further turn us into tribes, near as I can tell.
Yeah, or you know, expanded neighborhood, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but maybe I haven't looked behind the curtain yet. And there is a reason why.
I think you have, and that's what makes them so mad.
Oh.
That's why so much of this is being imposed rather than letting us freely decide, because we're not doing what they want. It's no different than the COVID shot.
Yeah.
You know, the end justified the means. I don't know why they wanted it so badly, but boy, did it become, you're going to get a shot.
Well, and that's one thing that I'm understanding is making Kennedy as attractive as he is as a presidential candidate, is that he's anti-vax, but he's also pro-environment. So he's kind of fitting in this niche where he's pulling a little bit from left and a little bit from right, and kind of sort of getting a little bit of traction in some areas. Do you think he has much of a chance, or is he just going to be a pudding stirrer in the fall?
Well, one thing I don't agree with is, as a Kennedy, you know, and I'm dating myself, but look, the Kennedys have targets on them. And why would Biden prohibit him or refuse to give Secret Service coverage? Jeez. Now he has to do it privately. That's, well, I'm good with that. No more government employees. But at the same time, it's not equal treatment under the law. And I think Kennedy is a danger, not to Republicans. I just don't see that. I see it as a big danger to the extreme left of the party.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how he plays out for the next couple months or so. I think it's time for you to get to work here.
All right, buddy. You take care.
All right. Keep dancing.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.